Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Dr. Rosemary Capps is here. Dr. Rosemary Capps is a teacher. She's a writer. She has deep roots in Northern California. She's also assistant director of the Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning here at University of California at Davis. She loves teaching and learning, and it's a good thing. And she loves fostering this enthusiasm in others. Her CETL work includes consulting with faculty on teaching improvement and facilitating the development of online learning at UC Davis. Her PhD is in educational leadership and policy from the University of Utah. And in addition to her work in higher education, she also enjoys making music with her extensive family, a tight harmony vocal and instrumental group that sometimes even includes a tub bass. Rosemary Capps, for the first time, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Andy. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here. You've got a great radio voice. We shouldn't be surprised because you're a seasoned presenter and vocalist. When you're engaged in these tight harmony vocals, how many people are you typically singing with?
Well, it varies when my whole family's
here. I should
here.
Add, how many relatives are you typically singing?
Oh, it can be up to 15 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes only 5 or 6.
And, we can't really fit 15 or 20 guests in our house. I hope that somewhere there's a compound where all of you can gather.
A large living room will do.
Okay, a large living room. Well, obviously a tight family, as you mentioned. And what sort of vocalizing do you do? What are the different sorts of musical traditions that you tap into?
Well, many of us have classical instrumental training, so we draw on that.
Mm-hmm.
We sing a lot of bluegrass and gospel and oldies and country, some country, more of the bluegrass type.
Right.
Anything that sounds fun, we imitate it and make it our own.
That's great. Did your musical training begin at home?
Yes.
And is that exclusively, or have you also been trained musically elsewhere, such as by teachers, professors, people with batons, etc.?
Oh, well, I started piano lessons when I was 6,
mm-hmm.
and continued until I was about 18.
And you play piano, any other instruments?
I sing.
Okay.
And I had a brief stint with the violin, but that didn't go very far.
And tell me about some of the other instruments that are represented in this familial orchestra.
Okay, we've got violin and guitar and banjo and mandolin and tub bass and piano. And several of my brothers played trumpets for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And we also sometimes have a viola.
That's great. Have any of you put out any recordings?
No, we haven't yet.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've heard, but with the democratization of media, we can now just do pretty much whatever we want to. So you might consider that.
Well, thanks for the recommendation.
I'm sure people will look to you because of your background in technology. You have to talk about tech in one way or another with faculty with regard to teaching. A whole lot is part of your job, don't you?
Yeah, that's true.
And so what are some new technologies that are being used at UC Davis that you're particularly interested in or excited about?
Well, let's see. One of my favorites is called Piazza.
Uh-huh.
And if you think of your class as this little Italian town, and if someone has a question in the class, you can go out into the town square and just sort of shout it out to everyone, and anyone can answer. Now, they may or may not be right, but the instructor can then correct it or confirm a really good student answer. If students have logistical questions, then you don't have 15 of them emailing the instructor to all ask the same question.
Right.
They can just check and see if someone's already asked that on Piazza. So it's worked pretty well, especially for large classes, to streamline, to create a sense of community, and I am pretty pleased with it.
So a tool like that is particularly important when you're talking about teaching online, where students don't encounter each other face-to-face or the instructor in a physical room. And so a responsible professor will think, well, how can I represent that that sense of community and even incidental interaction at a in a virtual place when all the actual participants may be far-flung?
Well, it does work well with online classes, but I've seen instructors do very similar things using just the regular chat room or using Facebook, actually, mm-hmm. in a fully face-to-face class when they knew there would be a lot of student questions about a certain assignment. Sometimes they've made a chat room for each assignment, and I've seen classes where the students use those heavily, even though they're also coming to class 3 hours a week.
That's great. Well, if you're just joining us, Rosemary Capps is my guest. She's a teacher and writer and assistant director of the Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning at University of California, Davis. She's also one of my peers, and so I'll ask her a few questions now that I'll pretend that I don't know the answers to. So I had mentioned hybrid teaching and online teaching. Many listeners may associate those approaches to teaching with non-UCs, non-UC Davis, so they might think of, you know, University of Phoenix often comes up, et cetera, et cetera. How have we begun to explore online instruction at University of California, Davis?
Oh, that's a good question. Thanks for the softball.
Sure.
Well, two programs I'll mention. Mm-hmm. One of them is called UC Online Education, and it's a pilot program that's, it's moving out of the pilot and into the regular production phase, actually. And it is a system-wide program by which classes at any UC are available for students at any UC to take, and soon for non-matriculated students to take as well. And so that's been running for a couple of years, I think 2 years now. And then we also have what's called the Provost Hybrid Course Award, mm-hmm. and that started actually last year, and it provides support for four courses, hybrid courses, meaning you cut down on some of the required face-to-face time, but not all. So, for instance, a fully online class, all of the time an interaction is online, but a hybrid course, maybe you might meet in class for an hour and a half, and then you have an hour and a half of required online interaction or activities to go along with that, in addition to the homework. So the Provost Hybrid Course Award, the PHCA, launched last year, and we have four courses in development that are going to launch in the 2012-13 school year.
That's terrific. Now, some listeners may be wondering why begin to walk down this path. What are the advantages that students, faculty, administrators, etc. have in exploring hybrid teaching or even online teaching at UC Davis?
There are advantages for some and not for others. Mm-hmm. It doesn't fit everybody or every class, but online or hybrid classes can allow for students who would like to be flexible with their time or their space, or faculty that would like to be flexible with their time or their space. Also, some of the tools that are available online allow for analysis and reflection in the way that maybe the in-person discussion doesn't, because mm-hmm. it's so focused on people who think quickly on their feet rather than reflection. So there are pros and cons to both face-to-face interaction and the affordances of online as well.
Now, what you just mentioned about people who are quick on their feet, I think both of us have taught classes where, the people of the B generation used to say, first thought, best thought, in that that which comes to you first is that which you should run with because it's not censored, for example. In the classroom, you often want students to reflect for a moment before throwing their hands up, Horshack style, say. But with in the way that you've just represented online teaching, you can actually reward reflectiveness and drafting of a response and these sorts of things, rather than reward only the people who think quickly or who are loudest or who are aggressively responsive to faculty in a particular class.
I will say that the responsibility for faculty to teach students how to reflect mm-hmm. and how to give and receive critical analysis, it's higher. If you're going to ask students to interact in a reflective way every single week, they may not always come to the classroom familiar with that skill. And so faculty can't just expect that every student's going to be immediately comfortable with that. And so you need to build in more of more modeling, more explicit discussion of what you expect in that reflection. But I would say that's just good teaching. I mean, good face-to-face teachers do that also.
Right. That makes sense.
And that's probably the most important part for me about working with online and hybrid courses. It's really the teaching that makes a difference more than the mode. Motor delivery can make a difference, but when you have a teacher who learns how to use a tool and cares about their students, you can have good learning in either one.
That's terrific. Well, we're chatting with Rosemary Capps this afternoon. She's an assistant director of the Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning, as well as an author and a thought leader on instructional technology here at UC Davis. We were talking about reflection and the possibilities for reflection, no matter the mode of teaching. I know that you've used writing as a tool to improve your own reflectiveness, and you've also been working on a number of writing projects. We should say something about those before I make you sing. So what's a writing project or two that you've been working on?
I'm working on an article right now that reports the interaction and learning that we're seeing in a hybrid course, one of the large lecture hybrid courses that's being offered right now. We're still in the data collection and analysis phase of that, so that's still to come. And I also write about student engagement and interaction in both online and hybrid courses.
That's great. And regular listeners to this radio show may recall interviews that I've done with James Carey, an entomologist at UC Davis, and Arnold Bloom, who taught and continues to teach a class on climate change. These are two of the folks who have been exploring the possibilities of online instruction, responsible online instruction here at the University of California at Davis. Well, Rosemary, if it's all right with you, I'm going to play a public service announcement. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we return, we'll see if you'd like to sing us a song.
All right, sounds good.
Excellent. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Regular listeners know that we use jazz for bumper music on this radio show. But jazz is not the only genre of music that we've represented and exemplified on this show over the last 12 years. No, sometimes we've had folk music represented, folks coming down with their guitar. We've had blues artists. We've had some rock and rollers. And now we have Rosemary Capps. As I mentioned before, she is an assistant director of the Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning. And on her commute, which I hope has been by bus, she's been practicing a particular song that she's going to share with us. How is it that you chose the song that you're going to share, Rosemary?
Oh, it's fun, actually. I have a wide repertoire. We sing a lot in my family, but this is one of my favorites.
Excellent. Great. Do you need any more than that, or shall we launch into the song?
No, most people will recognize it.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Rosemary Capps.
When you're down and troubled, and you need some love and care, and nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call, and you'll be there. Yes, I will. You got a friend. the sky above you should grow dark and full of clouds, and the old north wind began to blow. Keep your wits about you and call my name out loud, and soon you'll hear me knocking at your door. You just call out my name and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there, yes, I will. You got a friend.
That was terrific, Rosemary. Well done. And it's so much more intense and pleasurable for me because I've got the headphones on, and so I've got you singing, like, right in my ears. I hope that you all will listen to the recording of this show with your headphones on so you can hear Rosemary Capps, my guest this afternoon, on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Well done.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed that. Well, we've come right up to the end of the show. Is there something that you want to plug? We were talking off mic about some plans for October, and I know that faculty listen from time to time. Do you want to give us a sense of what we might be able to look forward to in about 2 months' time?
Sure, sure. Yes, in October, actually October 12th, mm-hmm. we're going to have a showcase of online and hybrid classes that are at UC Davis. Still figuring out dates and locations, but it will be open to the campus community, and we'll have 8 different courses showcased that have either run for the first time in the past year or they're under design and they're going to run for the first time in the coming year. And we'll also have some good group discussion about the future or the role of online and hybrid learning at UC Davis. So I'd love to see anyone in the campus community there.
Excellent. I'm sure that people listening, even skeptics, are pleased that you're at the helm of this important enterprise. So thanks very much for coming on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thank you, Andy.
Absolutely. And in addition to thanking Rosemary Capps, I'd like to thank Bart Edelman. I'll remind you that his new book, a 2012 publication from Red Hen Press, is called The Geographer's Wife. If you'd like to find out more about Bart Edelman, you can visit bartedelman.com. If you'd like to find out more about the Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning, you can go to cetl.ucdavis.edu. My name is Dr. Andy, and you've been listening. Thanks also to Evan. Evan, great job with the public service announcement. He raised his hand, as you all might have heard, mm-hmm. if you've got really good ears. Thanks also to Evan, and make sure that you stick around for some terrific music. My name is Dr. Andy, and this has been Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. See you next week.